The message didn't come till late yesterday evening. Hallelujah. But it came. I have told him. Hallelujah. You don't have to fret over it. I thank God for the word. I want to read you something this morning before we get started. You said that's not your start. No. Mm-mm. Praise God. Not a changed Bibles this morning, too. Man, the word's a little. Thank God for taking the cataracts away. You can see a little better. I want to read something to you this morning. I want you to let it sink in as I read it. And I want you to just drink. How many of you know what I'm saying when I say drinking the word of God? Yes, indeed. Drinking the word of God. You ever been hot on a thirsty day and your mouth was so dry and was just like a ball of cotton? And you get a cold drink of water. Oh, it feels so good, don't it? That's the way the word of God should be to a dry, thirsty soul. And speaking of water, could I have mine? Thank you. Thank you, Uncle. Praise God. Listen to what the word of God says. Therefore, Hebrews 12, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witness, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Praise God. The great cloud of witness in chapter 11 is what he's talking about. The faith chapter. All those people that came before us and have suffered and went through what you may be going through today, and they endured that thing. Listen, they have already been there, and they went through it, and you can go through it victorious too. Oh, praise God. Aren't you glad for God's word? I'm telling you. Let us fix our eyes on the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. In your struggles against sin, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood, and you have forgotten that word of encouragement that addresses you as sons. My son, do not make light of the Lord's discipline, and do not lose heart when he rebukes you, because the Lord disciplines those he loves, and he punishes everyone he accepts as son. Hallelujah. Praise God. I don't know about you, but that's encouraging. That is encouraging. When you read chapter 11, my goodness. It talks about the things that those people went through, and they endured it through Christ Jesus, by faith in Christ Jesus. How many of you have faith of a grain of mustard seed? You don't have to raise your hand, because you're in church, you lie, you fry. You know you do. Mm-hmm. That's what the word teaches us. He said, all you need is the faith of a grain of mustard seed. And you can say to this mountain, be thou removed and cast into the sea. Praise God. I want to go back to 2 Kings a little bit. 2 Kings chapter 6. We might be back and forth. I don't know what the Lord wants to do today. That's up to him. If he don't want me to speak, I'm not going to speak. I'm going to give him praise and glory. Aren't you glad that we can do that in church? We can laugh. We can have a good time in church. We can wait on God. Doesn't make any difference. You know, we don't have to be anxious. Oh, when are you going to preach? When are you going to get to serve? No, well, we need to get to the restaurant so we can get first in line. Don't worry about it. I can tell you how you can get first in line. Let one of you go in the door and holler, fire! And the other one hold the door. And when they run out, you can go right on in. I don't know what kind of trouble you'll get in after that, but that's a quick way of getting in first. Yes, indeed. Don't worry about those things. Don't worry about those things. I just read it to you. Those things that so easily beset us. You ever notice how we get so uptight over the little small things in our lives that just so we get so tense and so worked up over those things? And when times come and stress comes and things happen in our lives, oh, let me tell you something. Give it over to the Lord. And church, I want to tell you something. The Lord just brought that to me when Pastor was doing the opening and talking about how he felt. I want to tell you something. You'll never know that by a handshake or a gentle word to somebody that comes in your midst, what that's doing for that person. You understand what I'm saying? Well, you're looking at me kind of funny like you don't, so I'm going to explain it to you. I walked into a church one Sunday morning down in North Carolina, and I was depressed. You said you was depressed. Christians don't get depressed. Do Christians get depressed, Pastor? I'm not saying anything incorrect, am I? All right. Pastor said it's all right. So, yes. I'd been through something. And it was weighing heavy on me. And I thought I could handle it, but I couldn't. And I went to that church. And God ministered to me through those people. They loved on me and through the word of God. When I left that place that morning, I was set free. Hallelujah. So when you see people come in, make sure you greet them. And by the way, all of you visitors today, you are welcome. We welcome you with open arms, and I'm not the pastor, he is. Yes, I want you to we'll clarify that right now, so you ought to know that from my speech anyway. So you're going to get a country sermon this morning. Praise God. Our on-time God. Hallelujah. How many of you know he's never late? He might not be there when we want him, but he's always on time. Hallelujah. Yes, indeed. How many of you have been through things and you fretted over those things and you prayed and you sought God and you thought to yourself, well, I guess God didn't hear me, and all of a sudden the prayer's answered. That is. You know why? Because you gave up and you got out of the way and you allowed God to take control of the situation. Praise God. You know, in 2 Kings chapter 6, they were faced with a dire situation there. I'm going to paraphrase a little bit today, so just bear with me. But I'm not going to quote anything that's not true. I'm going to tell you what the Word of God. I'll just find a little paraphrase in there and saying, putting a few words in there, but they still have the same meaning. Praise God. Chapter 6, we find in 2 Kings, Elisha, not Elijah, but Elisha, the city of Samaria was in siege. And they were starving to death. And they didn't know which way to turn or which way to go. The king was so upset that he had put sackcloth on under his robe. And he was walking along the wall, and a lady cried out to him, "Help me, O king." And the king's reply was to her, "If God doesn't help you, what do you think I can do? The wine press is empty, and the threshing floor is empty. So what do you want?" Now, I'm not going into great detail because we've got children in here this morning, but children, I want to tell you something. If your mom and daddy have said that we ain't got no groceries and we ain't got nothing to eat and we're hungry, if they start licking their lips, run. So you read the story and you'll know what I'm talking about. But the king was so angry with Elisha. He was so mad at the Christian. You know what? People are mad at you and I. They're upset with the Christian nation. I didn't know if you know that or not. Yeah, they are. They're blaming. They begin to blame things on us. And that's usually the way it is. They blame things on the Christians. That's the way they were doing it back in. And he makes a bold statement. He makes a decree. He said, God do to me and so much more if I don't have the head of Elisha. And he commands his commander to go and lift the head of Elisha. Now, lift the head means to cut it off. And Elisha, aren't you glad how God reveals things to people? God, he knows what we need, when we need it, and he's always there. How many of you know he has provisions that are unlimited? Oh, yes, indeed. Have you ever been in situations like that where you didn't know where the next meal was coming from? I'm looking at you. I see some handshaking. Yeah, I know. I can tell you. Yes, indeed. I'm telling you, boy, I come from a family where when we went to the supper table, it might be a bowl of potato soup on that table and some homemade bread. Or it might be some cow stomach already fried up. And you say, ugh. No, it's really good. It was kind of meager, but we always ate. We had stuff to eat. It might be fried pig ears, but they were good. I liked them. You say, oh, my gosh, brother. And your mom and dad, I wouldn't give any. Oh, yes, they did the best they could for us. They loved us, and they told us about Jesus. Hallelujah. We never went hungry. We always had something to eat. These people were starving. And they needed God to do something. When they come for Elijah heard the commander coming. He knew he was going to take his head off. He told the group that was with him, he says, hold the door. Hold the door and don't let him come in till I consult with the Lord. Ha, praise God. That's what we need to do. When the enemy of our soul comes in, we need to hold the door and consult with the Lord. That's why we get ourselves in troubles a lot of times. When trouble comes our way, instead of getting on our knees and seeking God, we walk around with our head hung down. Lord, what am I going to do? Oh, my gosh, I don't know what to do. Instead of saying, Lord, I don't know what to do, but I know that you do. Lord, you have promised that you will take care of me. Lord, your word says that you will provide for me. It makes no difference. And we need to put our trust and our confidence in what the word of God says and not what man says. You need to listen to what God is speaking to your heart and act upon that word. You say, but you don't understand. You tell me what it is that I don't understand. I've had people tell me that. Oh, but you don't understand. And one man tell me, you don't understand. I got something. And he was stuttering all over his word. I said, are you trying to tell me you stole something? Well, yes. And I'm afraid my wife's going to leave me if she finds out. I said, let me tell you something. God don't break homes up. He puts them together and restores them. And it won't be 2 days later, this man was dead. And I don't know if he made it or not, but I hope he does. But he knew the word of God. Our trust needs to be in our Lord and our Savior. And as soon as that man got there, the king had changed his mind. And he made a bold statement. He says I think it was chapter 7. I believe that's where it was at. No, I'm sorry. It's verse 33 of the sixth chapter. It says the king grew weary of waiting. Do you ever go try out of waiting? Do you ever get weary of waiting? The only time I get weary of waiting is when I got to go in a restaurant to eat and they tell me I got an hour to wait. I'm gone. We should never grow weary, should we, of waiting. But we do. We're human. And I understand that. And I think it's okay sometimes. As long as we put our trust in God. As long as we wait on Him. the Word of God teaches me that they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up as wings of eagles. Hallelujah. They shall run and not grow weary. And they shall walk and not faint. Whew. Hallelujah. I like what that, the rest of that little song says. Teach me, Lord, to wait. Hallelujah. Yes, indeed. Sometimes God wants us to wait on Him. But we get antsy, don't we? You know what the word antsy means, don't you? It's impatient. Yeah. We get impatient with God. And we want to trust everything else but God. And the king became weary. He says, why should I wait on God any longer? And he realized that that thing was from God. Hallelujah. Sometimes God sends things in our lives. And he sends us places that we don't have any clue. And we question sometimes, Lord, what are you trying to do? Lord, what are you trying to do with me? Where are you sending me to, God? I remember there was a time my dad had a heart attack. Some people say, well, you know, we shouldn't look back in the past and talk about things in the past. Yeah, well, that's not what the Word of God said. Teach these things to your children, he said. Teach these things to them. He told Joshua, he said, this generation knows nothing about me because the generation didn't teach them anything. That's right. Your kids ought to be able to see you. Your children ought to be able to see you praying and seeking God. Yes, indeed. You know what? A lot of my trust in God and seeking God came from watching my mom and my dad seek God over things. Listening to the testimonies, how God had moved in their behalf and how God had worked and done things. You know, you may be going through a problem. You may be going through a need today. I don't know what your situation is, but I do know this, that God answers prayer, and he's always on time. My dad had a heart attack. They put him in the hospital. You know what? Sometimes God places us in some situations and brings things in our lives sometimes that we don't understand. Why? Lord, why in the world? What's going on with me? Why in the world am I going through this? Lord, I thought this, I was your child. You are his child. But he's working through you. My dad was in the hospital, and he happened to meet a young man and his wife. Back then, you was in the room with other people. That's been a long time ago. And our pastor would go see my dad. He would go in, anoint him, pray for him, talk to him. They'd talk about the Lord. And one day the pastor came over and seen him, my dad, and prayed for him and prayed with him. And the young man laying in the bed beside him. He said, you know something? He said, your pastor comes in and I watch him pray for you. My pastor comes in just to ask me how I'm doing. He goes right out the door. Never prays for me. That's a sad thing. You never know how God wants to use you. I've had God to send me to hospital rooms and pray for people, and God has raised them off those beds of affliction. That's not boasting on me. That's boasting on God. Now, I could have been disobedient. Would God could have sent somebody else? Yes, he could. But he tapped me. Praise God. Just like Pastor tapped me for the message this morning. So you got to take it up with him today. Praise God. And his doctor came in not long after that and gave him bad news. He had Hodgkin's disease. He told him he didn't have long to live. And he had closed the curtain. They always have a curtain closed between the two patients, you know, when the doctors visit them. I don't know why they can't do, you know, you still hear them over there talking. But anyway, the man began to weep, and when he had gone through a time of weeping, he He opened the curtain up and he says, "Did you hear what he said?" He said, "I heard him, son." He said, "But I want to tell you something." He said, "That's not the end." He said, that's not the end, son. He said, "There's a God that loves you." And he began to tell him about the love of God and who Jesus was. And through a course of conversation and his wife being there and through a few, couple, two or three days of my mom being there in the evening and both of them, they would talk to this young couple and tell them all about the love of Jesus and how that God could change their life and save them. And that young man gave his life to Jesus Christ. Oh, praise God. The word of God says hell has enlarged its mouth, ready to swallow you up. But we have a God that's bigger than hell and the mouth of hell. Hallelujah. Who has conquered death, hell, and the grave. Yes. He's an on-time God. Yes. And a day or two later, the young man was laying there and he said, "Mr. Williams, you know something? The joy of the Lord. I was going to hell and didn't realize it until you told me about Jesus." Hallelujah. Well, but a few days later, that young man slipped into eternity. Oh, praise God. Whew. You say, that's cutting it close. I know time's closer. Yes. The thief on the cross was one of them. Yes, indeed. An on-time God who never fails and never lets us down. The old king was weary, and he said, "I know this is from God." And you see, the people of the city were starving to death. But Elijah, the prophet, says, "Listen to the word of God." The key thing for you and I is to listen to the word of God. Lean not to your own understanding, but acknowledge him in all your ways, and he will make your paths straight. He will lead you in the right direction. You might be going in the wrong direction, but he will turn you around if you will trust in him. I talked to my sister this week, and she has a situation in her family. And she needed direction from God. She said, I thought I was going in the wrong direction, but it ended up being the right direction. I took a left instead of a right. And she said, I was right where God needed me. And as soon as I made that left and I saw where I was, she said, God brought it back to me what he wanted me to do. And she said, problem solved. Hallelujah. Whew. Aren't you glad? My goodness. I hope that you will put your trust in God. You say, oh, it might be somebody here. You're on the midnight hour. The clock is coming down. It's ticking. And your time is running out. Well, let me tell you something. God isn't finished yet. He's got a timing for everything. I had a brother of mine one time, not my physical brother, but my brother in the Lord. My brother told me, he said, "Man, they're going to foreclose on my home Monday morning." This was on Sunday. I said, "Have you prayed and sought God?" He said, "I have prayed and sought God." I said, "Trust him." Hallelujah. Sunday night, the call came. Oh, an on-time God. The call came and said, "Brother, I've got X amount of dollars for you. God told me to give it to you." He said, "Brother, I want to tell you something. It was down to the exact penny that I needed." Hallelujah. Praise God. Aren't you glad? That's how God Yes, indeed. That's the God that I serve. Hallelujah. My goodness. Isn't his provisions wonderful? Oh, Elijah says, hear the word of the Lord. You see, we need to pay attention to the word of God and less attention to what man is trying to tell you or the enemy of your soul is trying to tell you. You need to do thus and so. You know you can't. You got to go now. No, wait on God. My sister kept telling me. She said, God kept telling me to wait. She said, but I wanted to do this. And I wanted to. She said, but God would tell me to wait, wait. She said, and I waited. And God took care of the situation. Oh, man, the old Elisha told the king, he says, by this time tomorrow, there's going to be plenty. There's going to be plenty for the city. Oh, if you read the story, you ought to read these things sometimes. I love the Old Testament. It's full of people being delivered from God and the things that God had done for people that were right on the spur of the moment. When the time clock was ticking out, they had no time left. It's not by might, it's not by power, by the Spirit of God, saith the Lord. Yeah. I believe that's Zechariah 6:4. Yes, indeed. Not by might, not by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord of glory. Praise God. Oh, man, I'm telling you, I think it's so exciting. The Word of God is so exciting. Psalms 33:20 says, our soul waits for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. Psalms 121:2 says, my help cometh from the Lord, who makes the heavens and the earth. Where is your help coming from today? Where is your trust, and who do you trust in today? Is it Jesus, our Lord and our Savior? The midnight hour may be here, but God, the answer's on the way, if you hold on. Had a lady told me the other day, this young lady's grandmother. She had Alzheimer's. She wasn't a Christian. She wasn't saved. And they began to pray. Her daughter was a missionary. And they began to pray and seek God that this woman would come to and have clarity of mind long enough for somebody to lead her to the Lord. And when she prayed and they sought God and they sought God, and this woman came to her clear mind. Hallelujah. God just enlightened her mind and opened her understanding, and they were able to lead her in the sinner's prayer. Hallelujah. She prayed and sought God, and God delivered her. Oh, praise God. God is always on time, isn't he? Oh, man, I'm telling you, there's an old song that they sang. Our God, he may not be there when we need him or when we want him. Not when we need him, but when we want him. But he's always on time. And the old song talks about Israel when they got to the Red Sea, and the Pharaoh was behind them and the Red Sea in front of them. And God opened a highway through the midst of that sea. Praise God. Just in time. Just in time. Listen, I don't know what you're going through today. I'm not a mind reader. But God knows. He knows everything about you today. He knows what you're sitting there thinking now. He knows whether you're sitting there thinking, I hope this man will hurry up and shut up so I can get over to here and get to the restaurant. He knows that. He knows that some of you in here today may be going through some of the worst times in your life. There may be some marriages in here that are contemplating breaking up. There may be somebody here today that's contemplating suicide. You can't take it anymore. I don't know, but God knows. And don't say that don't happen either. Because I walked out of my work one day, and there was a young lady in a car. And I saw her. I saw her before through the plant and knew who she was. And at quitting time, I got off and walked by her car. And she was slumped over in the car. She had taken her life. She went out at lunchtime, sat in the car, put a 44 Magnum to her chest, and shot herself. It went through her, through the seats, and lodged in the spare tire of the car in the trunk. Listen, don't tell me that people don't think things. There could be people in the midst of us this morning, and I hope it's not, but we never know, do we? You see, that congregation that I went to didn't have a clue that I was depressed. I didn't let on to it. But God knew, and he had the right message for that morning. Christians being depressed. Yes, indeed. He had me at the right time, at the right place, and I was delivered. You may be here today, and you need deliverance from God, and God wants to deliver you. Yes, he does. He wants to deliver you. He wants to turn your life around. He wants to take you and make a new person out of you. A young lady in Indiana, a pastor's daughter, Assembly of God pastor, young lady backslidden, turned her back on God, driving down the highway, had a wreck, run up onto a tractor trailer, laying there with the blood oozing out of her, life oozing out of her. Two Assembly of God Bible students saw what was going on and got out of their vehicles and run and got up under the vehicle, up under that tractor trailer with that young lady. And they began to talk to her and pray with her. Right there, as her life was leaving her, she rededicated her life to Jesus Christ. Just on time. Just in the nick of time. Hallelujah. And I know what people think. I know what people say. Oh, well, maybe, that'll happen to me. I've got plenty of time. I can remember back years ago witnessing. We would go out witnessing. I had people to tell me, well, when I get old, I'll think about that. And I would tell them, I said, you ever stop and thought you might not get old? You might not make it to old age. Today is the day of salvation. That's what the Word of God says. You're not promised tomorrow. We don't know what tomorrow holds. You got loved ones that are lost, pray for them. And don't give up. Press in. Oh, the midnight hour is coming upon us. But you know what? We have an on-time God. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad? Don't give up praying for them. I just talked to my cousin last night in Maryland. I've lost another cousin. Another one passed it away. People that were unchurched knew nothing of the Lord. But there was always somebody there to tell them. Whenever they came to visit my home, whenever they came to visit with us when we were kids, my mom and dad made sure that they heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I remember them telling those stories. When we would come to y'all's house, your mom and dad would tell us about Jesus. And I remember one time, two of my cousins told my parents, when they began to witness to them, and I think they bowed their heads and asked Lord to forgive them. They said, well, I hope he comes now. No, that's too many still wandering after sin. Oh, it would be nice, wouldn't it? And it's going to be nice. But we have loved ones that are not ready. And we need to seek God's face for those loved ones because we don't know when God's coming. He's coming in an hour that we think not. And we need to pray and seek God's face. Not when it's too late and we can't pray anymore and seek God. The siege was lifted in the evening at dusk. And the city had plenty. Hallelujah. I like the way God works. I like the way he works. Who would have ever thunk it That's not proper English. Who would ever thunk it? Lepers that were outcast of the city. Listen to me. God works through who he wants to work. And it's nothing you can do or say about it. He'll use anyone that's willing to be used. These four lepers made a decision. Well, we can't go in the city because they ain't got nothing to eat. But we can go down to the enemy's camp, and we got a choice. They'll either feed us or kill us. Either way, we're going to die. So we're going to take a chance. And before they got there, God had already moved. Oh, read it. Read it. It's in there. You need to read the Word of God. I want to tell you something. When we stand up here and preach, me, Pastor Ben, or whoever it is, when we stand up here and preach, listen, you need to read the Word of God. The Word of God teaches me that those people in Berea, whenever they would go and hear Paul and those apostles preach, that they would go back home and search the Scripture to make sure what they were saying lined up with the Word of God. Mm-hmm. Yes, indeed. How do you know? Unless you read. How do you know unless you hear? Oh, yeah. Well, these guys took a chance and they went down. And God had already delivered those people in that city. They just didn't know it. The answer was already there. They were sitting in there starving, and all the time the food was right outside the city, plenty. And those little lepers come up, and what they saw was, man, there was silver and gold, there was food, there was plenty for everybody. And they began to feast and gather up things. And I like the way that God works on the hearts of people too. Then they come to themselves and said, whoa, wait a minute. We're not doing right. This was a day of rejoicing. They were rejoicing because they had been delivered by God. We need to go back and tell those people in the city. You see, you can't pick and choose who you want to witness to or who you want to tell. When God lays somebody on your heart, there's a reason. Go to that person, regardless of what you think. Man in our church, the Holy Spirit sent him to the hospital. He didn't even know the man. Didn't even know him. Never met the man before in his life. And by direction of the Holy Spirit, he went. And he witnessed to that man. That evening, that man slipped into eternity. But he accepted Jesus. Oh, praise God. Praise God. They went back. Hey, tell the king there's plenty here. The army's gone. They've run. And there are those that doubt. We have those that doubt. You know who I'm talking about? You ever testified about something God did for you? And people, well, they give you the, oh, yeah, that's pretty good. You're knowing all the time that they're not believing what you're saying. And the king says, this might be a trick. When all the time the word of God had come through the prophet that God was going to deliver that city and there would be plenty for everybody. But yet he said to the people, this might be a trick. They may have sent them up here to trick us. When we come here, they're going to kill us. God doesn't deal in trickery. Oh, yes. Praise God. If I told you some stuff this morning, I think some of you would doubt what I'm telling you. I think you would. But you see, when you know, what do you call it, Pastor? Knowing in your knower. That's it. And when you've experienced something, just like the great cloud of witness, they've been through it. But when you know in your knower and you've experienced it, they can call you a liar and they can disbelieve all they want to, but you know what God done. You know how he delivered you. And listen, there's nothing that he can't deliver you from if you put your trust in. I'm telling you, you need to call on God. You say, well, it may be too late. It's never too late to call on God. You've got breath in your body, call on God. Yes, indeed. Open your heart up to him and say, God, I've made a mess out of my life. I've made a mess out of this, and I don't know what to do about it. I can't do anything, God. And I give it to him and let him take it. Don't take it back. Give it to him and trust him and wait for him to solve the problem. Or whatever the situation is in your life, wait on God. Be patient and wait on God. Have faith in him, confidence in him. You know, that's what he says, to come boldly into the presence of God and make your request known. That's what the word says. Come boldly. You see, in the Old Testament, they couldn't do that. They couldn't do that. Only the priest could go in. But you know what? Because of the blood of Christ, because he gave his life on Calvary. Oh, let me tell you something. I was just reading this the other day, and it dawned on me. They didn't take the curtain down. Mm-mm. He tore the veil in two. He rent it from top to bottom. He ripped it from top to bottom. Hallelujah. Oh, you need to go into the book, I believe it's Leviticus, I believe, where God designed that veil. It wasn't like ladies, you know what a little sheer piece is? I guess they still use it, don't they? It's a little thin curtain, thin thing. You could probably rip that thing with no problem at all. It wasn't like a little sheer piece. That thing was huge. And it was interwoven wool. God rent it. He ripped it. And he took away that veil that separated the presence of God and man. And we now can boldly, that's what his word says, with confidence, go into the Holy of Holies. Oh, praise God. Aren't you glad today? We serve an on-time God. Hallelujah. He's never late. He's always on time, regardless. Oh, if time was permitting, I could go on and on and on and tell you the things, how God has prevailed and how God has answered prayers right at the midnight hour. Hallelujah. Praise God. Now, I don't know what you're going through with today, and I don't know what some of your lives are. You may be having a rough time. You may be having a financial situation. It may be a physical problem. I could go on with that, but you could go down the list and name things. But listen, whatever the problem is, I can tell you we serve a God who can take care of anything in your life if you give it over to him and allow him to work in and through. Wait patiently for God. You young people that go to college, you may be struggling in academics. God's concerned with that too. And if you will seek God's face and pray and seek God and ask God to help you through those situations and do your part and have faith in him and study, God will bring you through that thing. Yes, indeed. Yes, I know he will. Yes. It makes no difference what the situation. I'm telling you, I know. I've been there. Listen, I'm not a person of great faith. I'm not one of those people that He's talking about the great cloud of witnesses, the ones that's in the hall of faith there in the 11th chapter of Hebrews. But I have faith in God. And I've been through things in my life and in my walk with Christ, and God has brought me through victoriously, and he will do the same for you. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever, and he never changes. What he did then, he can do now and will do now if you seek his face. Praise God. I don't know what you're going through with. God knows, but I don't. You may be having some heartache and sorrow. You may be going through a place where you're thinking to yourself, I've got a situation. I've got a decision to make. And I don't know. I don't know which direction to go. Seek God. And when God gives you the answer, go in that direction. And don't doubt him. He's going to lead you in the right ways. Praise God. Father, thank you for this day, Lord. Thank you for this word today, Lord. Oh, my Lord and my King, I thank you. God, we can't thank you enough today for your goodness and your mercy, Lord, for your provisions, Lord. Lord, for your love that you have for us each and every day, Lord. Father, I don't know the hearts of these people today. I don't know who's suffering and what's going on in anyone's heart, but you do, God. And I ask you today, Father, that you would... Lord, that you would begin to minister to those hearts today, Father. God, that you would open their eyes and let them see that my only hope is Jesus Christ. Lord, that they would come and cry out to you. Fall on you, Lord, and cry their hearts out to you, Lord. Not to man, but to you, God. That you too, Lord, may take them, Father. Lord, that you may move in their lives, God, and show forth your marvelous works. Lord, there may be some here that don't know you as Savior and Lord, Father, that are contemplating, Lord, between two, God. What should I do? Oh, God, touch that heart today, Lord. Lead them in the direction, Lord. Oh, Father, fall the plans of the enemy of their soul, God, that's come against them. Lord, let them hear the cry of the Spirit of God upon them, saying, come. Come to me, all you that are that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. All the peace and the joy that we have from our Heavenly Father surpasses all human understanding in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Thank you for this day. If there be one among us today, if you need prayer today, these altars are open to you. We want to pray with you. I want to pray with you. Our pastor will pray with you. There's so many people in here that will love on you and pray for you. But you have to make the first step. You take the first step, and the Holy Spirit will meet you. And he will begin to speak to your heart. And all the joy, when you open up and let the Holy Spirit take full control, the joy that will flood your hearts. Father, thank you today, Lord, for these that have come and been so attentive, Lord. God, be with them today and minister to them, Lord. Lead them to their homes today, Father. Cover them in your precious blood today, Lord. Lord, watch over them all today, Lord. Thank you, Father, for the prayers that you've answered. God, thank you for what you're doing, Lord. I give you glory and praise today, Lord, in Jesus' wonderful and glorious name. Amen. Amen. Praise God.